the story of the 10 lepers, or the story of the one leper who came back, who was a Samaritan, is a story that has a very distinctive sound map. The first part of the story is quite demonstrative, loud. So they called out to Jesus from a distance, "Lord, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus called back to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." So the first part of it is loud, demonstrative, and communicates by the quality of the sound the distance between them. The second part of the story is much more intimate. The Samaritan comes and falls at Jesus' feet, and then Jesus is talking to him right in front of him. So it's much quieter, it's more intimate, and the second part of the story is much quieter and more direct. The shortest sentence in this story is, you know, as they went to show themselves to the priest, they were made clean. It's slow, it's emphatic, and it is the occasion of the miracle of their healing. And so it's an opportunity to describe in tone as well as content the incredible thing that happened, that as they went, they were made clean. When the Samaritan leper comes back, he's also praising God with a loud voice, which is stated in the story, which is an indication of the volume with which this indirect discourse is to be told. So it too is loud. And the other thing to notice about the sound characteristics of this story is that the sentence, you know, "Now he was a Samaritan," is the shortest, and it gives the storyteller time to register his thanks in indirect discourse, but it also, in this sentence describing who he is, gives the storyteller an opportunity to communicate to the audience, this is a foreigner. This is a Samaritan. This also is an indication of the audience to which the story is told. That is, the primary listeners to this story are addressed as people who would regard the Samaritan as a foreigner and who would recognize then the radical distance that is being lessened or eliminated by this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan leper. In the background of this story is the story of Elisha and Naaman, the general of the Syrian army, in 2 Kings. The elements of similarity are that Jesus heals from a distance, just as did Elisha. It is only by his word and then the action or obedience of Naaman on the one hand, who is told to go wash, and the lepers who are told to go and show themselves to the priest, they both do it, and as they are obedient to what the prophet tells them, they are made clean. Of course, these 10 men and Naaman were also lepers. So this story evokes some of the memories of Elisha and of the prophets who healed their enemies. The structure of the story focuses on the aftermath of the healing and the fact that only one came back to give thanks to God, and that one was the Samaritan. In the Greek, the emphasis is created by a chiasm. It literally is, "Were not 10 made clean? The 9, where are they?" So it's the order of things is made clean, 10, the 9, where are they? What that does is to create emphasis on the contrast between the 10 and the 9 who didn't come back. And there are only 4 words in each of those sentences. The Samaritan is a foreigner, as was Naaman. And the Greek word that is used here, allogeneis, literally means other genes or other race. And this is the only use of this word in the New Testament. But it is a famous word because it is used and was found in the inscription at the entrance of the court of the women in the Jerusalem temple. Josephus, first century Jewish historian, wrote about the warning signs in Greek and Latin that were placed on the barrier wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from the other courts in the temple. And it was not until 1871 that archaeologists actually discovered one of these written in Greek. And its 7-line inscription reads as follows. No foreigner is to go beyond the balustrade and the plaza of the temple zone. Whoever is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his death, which will follow. Now, the word for foreigner there is allogeneis, the same word that Jesus uses here. It was a word then that was used by Jews to describe those who were of other races and who were forbidden to enter the inner courts of the temple. As you may know, the temple was built with a large courtyard, the court of the Gentiles, which was around then the inner courts of the court of the women and the court, the inner courtyard where the sacrifices were made and where the high altar was present. So that word had resonance for Luke's audience as a word that described then ones from whom Jews were to be kept separate. And this also indicates that Jesus does not forbid the foreigner to come to him, as in the temple, but rather welcomes him and celebrates him and recognizes then that his faith was greater than that of his fellow lepers. The injunction that Jesus gives to go and tell the priest is similar to the story of the healing of the leper in Mark. You may remember that Jesus touches him, he is made clean, and then Jesus says, now, go and show yourself to the priest and offer what is required as a proof of your cleansing. So that's what Jesus is requiring that these lepers do, is that they go to the priest and offer themselves for examination as a proof of their cleansing. So the legal action is the same, and it indicates that Jesus was following legal practice in relation to the confirmation of someone who was made clean of leprosy. The contrast between the Samaritan and the 9 is told from a Jewish perspective. The normal expectation is that it would be fellow Jews who would give thanks, and the Samaritan would not. Instead, that expectation is reversed. His gratitude and faith are connected as the sources of his salvation. This is the words that Jesus speaks to him at the end, which are the shortest sentences in the whole story. Get up and go. Your faith has saved you. In the stories of Bartimaeus and the woman who touched Jesus' garment in Mark, they end with this same saying about their faith. Their faith was demonstrated by their getting to Jesus and being persistent in their getting in contact with Jesus, getting his attention. So the woman sneaked through the crowd and touched his garment. She hoped secretly. Bartimaeus yelled and carried on until Jesus came to him. In both cases, they took action. In this case, the faith of the Samaritan was demonstrated by his returning to give thanks. It is not unlike what would have happened in the temple, and what did regularly happen in the temple, when people went and offered thank offerings. Thank offerings for a new child, thank offerings for healing, thank offerings for a successful harvest. And so the offering of thanks in this instance was the Samaritan coming back and giving thanks to Jesus. This is a miracle story in the tradition of the prophets, but it's also a sign of the extension of the blessings of the kingdom of God beyond the community of Israel to those who believe. It's a story that is developed more extensively than in Acts, where it is Jews who first believe at Pentecost, then Samaritans with the mission of Philip and others, and then the Gentiles. So this story is an indication in the context of Jesus' ministry of this extension of the blessings of the kingdom of God to everyone, and particularly to their adversaries. So in this story, the clear implication is that the blessings of the kingdom of God are being offered to everyone in the world, but especially to those who are our enemies. So whoever it is that we would identify as our enemy, either personally, either politically, or in relation to the relations of nation states, races, groups of human beings, the blessings of the kingdom of God are offered to everyone, and the indication of participation in that is then the faith of those who respond. So what you can recognize in this story and a way of telling it is a celebration of this character of the kingdom of God. And when Jesus asks, where are the other nine? He's not talking to the Samaritan leper. He's talking to the audience. So when you tell this story, you can direct that question to your audience, and they are addressed as Jews who are invited to recognize in the faithfulness of the Samaritan and his coming back to give thanks the signs of true thanksgiving and faithfulness that are also present when people went and offer offerings in the temple or give thanks in the context of their community.